I got a new business plan.
Okay.
And this one came to me, when did it come? At work, right? So we're working, we finish up this big floor job finally.
Right.
But they got other guys running around. One of them, a gentleman named Troy. Troy's a player from way back. Did a little bit of Fed time.
I don't make him a bad person.
Got a gold in the top, a gold in the bottom. Got an ill, he's got the ill 360 wave spinning. And he just talks mad smooth. Like, you can't get him out of his zone to talk anything higher than this. He's going to give you a firm handshake, and he's going to work all day.
You can't take his cool.
And he's going to hit you with some old fly shit like, you know, if time was a circle, you know, things would bounce back easier.
Sure.
You know, something that doesn't really make sense, but you could probably try and find a way to make it make sense.
If you were just the right amount of high or drunk, you'd be fascinated
by
it.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy who holds on to the gems that he's created while he's stoned in the living room and then makes sure to drop them on you elsewhere. Now, we're dealing with a lot of issues with the kids today.
Okay.
One of the major issues that I see is that nobody wants to really take responsibility for themselves. It seems like this is a thread moving through society that we want to put the blame on anybody else who's not us.
I can see that, yeah.
We don't have the same security that maybe we once felt in a different time, right? Depending on where you're at. But if you listen to the news, things are, crime is up and, you know, things are crazier than they've ever been.
Sure.
Is that true? I don't know.
Not the point.
That's not what I see, but I, you know, what I see is not necessarily what's true for everybody.
Sure.
So we have all these situations where things are going astray. I think that another one, you know, homes are, the fatherless home has been prevalent for quite some time now. So we have these guys who have been taken out of their communities and wind up doing years upon years in the joint.
Okay.
They come home with no real skills.
Right.
AB, what's up in the chat? Yoga is life. And I beg to, you know, I dare you to tell me different, son. I've been real tight lately. I've been stretching it out. Not quite yoga, but I'm keeping it straight. I'm keeping limber.
Yeah, keep it loose, yeah.
So these guys come home, a lot of them with no real skill.
Right.
I was lucky enough while I was doing time in between these little tiny bids that I did to figure out how to put a tool belt on and use a tape measure. Otherwise, I'd be just as jerked working a job that doesn't take care of my family.
Right.
My wife would have to work.
Right, because you got trapped up early, and once that happens,
yeah,
you're deviated from any kind of real plan.
Which is wild that I even was able to learn what I was able to learn.
Yeah.
Although I did notice, right, upon further review, I didn't really get sufficient as a carpenter until I worked for myself.
Okay.
You know, like I was okay. But when you work for yourself, it forces you to learn the things that you need to learn to be able to.
Once the responsibility is all yours.
Yeah, you gotta solve the problems.
Yeah.
So we got these guys who are out here with no jobs and no skill set, right? So we create. Here's the business. Rent an OG.
Okay.
You know, we've placed OGs who have wisdom beyond their years because they've spent time doing nothing but thinking.
Right.
With anybody who might need one. There's plenty of situations where you could use an OG's guidance or security or skill set, criminal skill set, if you will.
Sure.
Your son's acting up.
Okay.
Now you're a father and you're talking to this kid and you're trying to get on his level and you're just not getting through because you're his dad.
Right.
Let's dial up Rent an OG. Now we get Troy from the job site who's done 20 years in the Fed joint, got the gold tooth, wave spinning, cool than the other side of the pillow. He comes through and just takes your kid for the day. Now this kid, I know me at 14 as a knucklehead, right?
Right.
I gravitated to the guys who had an air of cool.
Right.
Now, whether that cool was the best thing for me or not,
That's not something you think about when you're 14.
No. I was working with... my dad took me to work.
Right.
He works in an office. And I was doing, like, inventory for him for a week in the summer.
Okay.
I was also 14. They had an internet connection. I could go hide and jerk off to porn at the time, where I couldn't do that at home. So I wanted to keep going to work.
Well, there you go.
Now, there was a dude who worked there who, in my mind, was a grown man, but looking back, he was probably 19 or 20 years old.
Okay.
And he was doing inventory. I don't remember this dude's name. I just remember that he drove a champagne-colored Accord wagon with a system in the back. And I thought that was the coolest shit in the world.
What else is there at that age?
So, and I knew, we've talked underground hip-hop, so we had a little bit of a bond there.
Right.
One day at lunch, he goes, "Yo, come here." I'm like, "All right, what's up?" I walk outside with him. He's like, "Let me show you something." He goes into his glove box to show me a gun.
Oh, okay, sure.
Right?
Sure.
For no real reason other than I thought it was cool, and he probably felt cool getting gassed up.
Right.
We're not bringing those type of OGs to the party.
Oh, okay.
We're going to pre-screen all of our OGs, make sure that they're on the up and up, that they've done maybe they've committed themselves to a religion while in the joint.
Okay.
Maybe they've done some sort of program. We want the finest. We have the finest quality OGs here at Rent an OG.
Yeah.
And we have techniques across the... We have uses across the board, right? You have no friends. You know, you're a loner. You're maybe a guy who plays a lot of Fortnite in your house by yourself. Let's say you're 24. And you've just been stuck there. You can't get yourself out of this rut of being a guy who works at the film developing studio in the Kodak, the box in the Kmart parking lot.
The photo mat?
Yeah. You work in that little shed in the Kmart parking lot where people come by and drop off their rolls of film.
Yeah, they still have that. Yeah.
And you give them their pictures back. And then you come home, you eat a burger, and you play Fortnite all night.
Okay.
You're trying to change your life.
Right.
Hit us up. Rent one of our OGs. He's going to come through. First off, he's going to tell you about yourself.
Yeah.
He's going to come in and he's going to shame you off the rip.
Yeah, it's not all going to be sweet.
No, he's going to come in and go, "Look at you.
Right.
Your soft body, you're pudgy, you're eating bullshit, your job's dead end, and you're sitting here playing video games when you could be out conquering the world. Let's go." Right? And the OG, like in that situation, we'll send him with a care package.
Okay.
We're going to give him some Jerboe jeans to bring to you.
Excellent.
Maybe a pair of like Reebok workout mids.
5X white tee.
Yeah, I was looking for state prop stuff on used clothing sites today. There's nothing less than a double XL in state prop anything.
That was their starting.
Yeah.
That was their base.
I really think it actually, like, I don't think you can get a medium state prop anything.
This says 2X. That is small.
Yeah, that's their small is 2X.
Run it through the dryer.
He comes through with a state prop hoodie. He dresses you up, puts on your Jerboe jeans, your workout mids, maybe a pair of Beef and Brock Swamps or something like that.
All right.
He goes, "Let's go, Bo.
Let's go. Shape it
We're up. Getting out of here." He takes you to the local pool hall.
Okay.
Now, you're scared shitless because your anxiety is sky high. You stay in the house all the time.
Right. You're accustomed to being locked in even though you don't want to be.
But our OGs are specially formulated to thrive inside of high-stress social situations.
All right.
So he brings you in there. He goes, "It's all good. You're with me. Nobody's going to do anything because our OG just came out of the joint. He did 17 on an armed robbery."
Right.
He was a bank robber from up there in Southie.
Okay.
So he did 17 in the feds. Comes home. He's jacked. So you got no problems there. And he's going to push you. He's going to go, "Listen, Bo. You see that fat girl over in the corner? She's screaming your name. That's your flavor." And he's going to know. You start small. Don't go swinging for the fences. Bunt.
You don't walk in the gym first day trying to bench 400 pounds. You start at 50.
Yeah.
Work your way up. Get your chest together.
Are you a 14-year-old boy who's trying to kind of get out into the world, but you're the product of a single mother?
Okay.
And she's on your ass because you're everything she's got.
Right.
She's still looking at you like you're mommy's little baby boy.
Sure. You're her prized possession.
And you're like, "Mom, I'm 14. I've been a man since I was 10. Or so you thought.
Right. First hairs on your bird change everything.
And all mom does is goes to her job at the hospital filing paperwork, comes home, she makes you a plate of hamburger helper, and then she puts on The Bachelor and forces you to watch it with her.
Right.
You're trying to be out in the world, navigating, trying to get your bird moist, dip your little wiener in a puddle somewhere.
Sure.
Here's where our OGs come in.
Okay.
We hit you with one of our suaver OGs. We send them to your door to take your mother out. Get her out of your hair for a little bit.
Throw her the other way.
How she... This old bird hasn't had a pole since you. Pretty much, you were born.
14, it's been 14 years.
14 years since she got a little bit of hammer.
Since Dad bounced.
And here comes a suave, handsome, aggressive bad boy
right.
knocking on the door to take her out, to whisk her away for a night on the town. Maybe dancing. Maybe they stop by the Checkers to get a nice meal.
Sure.
I don't know.
Fries.
I think that we could get a lot of uses here.
I like the whole thing. Like, it's a... It's like a little brother, big brother concept,
but
with a wider reach, a more applicable reach. Like big brother was kind of like you just want a mentor for day to day, follow along sort of things, and this is more aimed and specific and like more targeted.
Yeah,
I need somebody who can help me with XYZ. We got the guy. We're gonna send him over. Let's do this.
And here's the reality of big brother, little brother. Those big brothers are dorks.
Probably.
You know. If your decision, there's probably a couple ones who are all right, but if your decision is to go donate your, instead of being out chasing snapper, you decide to go hang out with some needy 9-year-old, it's questionable at best.
So how
does it change for our OGs? Exactly. Why is it different? Because these are men who have spent decades sitting behind the wall thinking and understanding and coming to the grips with reality that you're here to give back.
Okay.
You know? And listen, the big brother probably has that same concept in his head, but he got there way too soon.
Right. He doesn't, it's nice that he wants to give back, but he really doesn't have any applicability.
It's not your time for it, bro. Right. Yeah. Right. We need you to get a couple of criminal charges on your background.
Give us a reason you need to give back.
Put a little something on your jacket.
Right.
And then come talk to 7-1 Rent and OG.
I like it. I think there's a solid future for it. I think we can do a lot of good in a lot of different places, especially with the introvert. I think it's big that I can make a phone call and I can basically hire a wingman.
Yeah.
Come out with me, show me what it's like to just be noticed, be okay in a situation where when I would usually walk in, I got to keep my eyes on the floor the whole time because I just don't want to associate. You come in, you bring, you know, this is my boy, he's the man.
Everybody loves the OG.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think this is a yet another solid 7-1 business that we can put on the tree.
Here's the thing, dude. Your daughter starts dating. You can't be the guy out there following her around.
No, that's.
But you know who can follow her around without being noticed? And if he is noticed, is a hell of an imposing figure for this young man trying to take advantage of your innocent daughter.
Right. You almost kind of want him to get noticed.
One of our OGs.
Yeah.
That's what I think we got something. We have an app. We're going to put together an app where it's just like Uber, dude.
Yeah.
You get an OG over to your house within a half hour, on call, any time of day and
right.
night. Now we got to work out the finances of it. I'm not sure what it should cost to rent an OG, but I guess if we look at it in this fashion, that these guys are probably going to come out working minimum wage jobs.
Right.
Right, so we need to get them more than minimum wage. I think $20 an hour to rent an OG is kind of the sweet spot. Maybe we go 25 because we take our $5 off the top, of
okay.
course. You know what I mean? We got to tax it.
Okay.
I got to get my beak wet.
Right.
$20 an hour for the OG, and all he's doing is being himself. He's not going to get, it's not going to, this is a supplement to an OG's income.
Yeah, this isn't the main source, if you will.
No, but you can make $20 an hour on a Friday night for just hanging at the pool hall. I mean, that's a solid deal.
It is. I got some kicking in my head. Keep talking, though. I got an idea, maybe.
Okay.
for the pricing structure.
Oh, okay. Are we going to go like multi-level marketing pricing structure, or what are you thinking here?
So this is what we do, right? We do the 20 an hour.
A Ponzi pricing structure?
No, but hear me out. We do the 20 an hour,
uh-huh.
But the OG only gets whatever minimum is, 14 or 15 an hour. Okay, so we keep, that's where we get our profits.
We get our $6 off of it, okay.
The deal with the arrangement is, though, that the person hiring the OG is responsible for the evening. So now the OG is just there to mentor, and then he's getting drinks for free, whatever it might be. He's getting a night on the town, and for not only nothing, he's gaining money during the whole process.
Well, that's a score of a situation for an OG where he needs to take an introvert and put him out on the town and like play the wingman.
Right.
There's going to be some where things get down and dirty, and it's not going to be the same kind of good time. You know, maybe you have to help discipline a young man who's a wayward young man. Same single mother, right?
Right.
Her son called to have this OG take her out and give her a good piping. OG gives her a good piping. The son keeps acting up. Next week, mom's calling the OG to help have a talking to the son.
Well,
we're getting them coming and going, Dad.
Well, there's definitely going to be frequent flyer miles.
Yeah.
And then also, you know,
preferred customers.
And also, you set it up sort of like a Lyft or an Uber situation. You know, if you're driving your Uber, it costs X, but if the person throws up in your car, it's an automatic fee for that.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a set of things. Like, if the OG has to fight and it wasn't expected,
yeah,
it's an extra.
You get swamped up, there's a fee there.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't go putting our OGs in danger.
No, that's not the plan, but if that should happen, the OG gets a little bump in pay because he had to lay down for that. He had to throw down for that. So I think there's a structure by which it's not really extremely expensive for anybody involved, but it does a lot of good for the community.
I'm with it. So I'll start designing the app this week. I'm off work, so I'll start designing the app.
I mean, that's one of your specialties, so that makes sense.
Here's the other thing that I'm probably going to throw it all away.
Okay.
At like everything.
Right.
I'm done with the podcast.
Right.
The family.
Mm-hmm.
The business.
Right.
My fitness.
The whole nine.
I'm throwing everything away, and I think I'm just going to I'm just going to let the family be. I'm going to have to shade off when they're not really looking.
Yeah. At 2 in the morning.
Get away, you know, silently. And I'm just going to head down south and kind of follow the everyday carry circuit.
Okay.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Everyday carry? You don't have a gun license. You're not going to be able to hold a pistol. Who's going to sell you a gun with your jacket?
Right.
It's not what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about, then?
I'm talking about pocket checks.
Okay.
There's a whole industry that has jumped up around guys who like showing off the things in their pockets.
Right.
Now, most of these guys are bearded Southern gentlemen with some kind of goofy hat and a tactical vest on.
Yeah, that doesn't fit. That they can't zip up.
Yeah. Well,
it ranges.
Yeah.
It ranges.
They come in all shapes and sizes. But there's these festivals that happen. Like, you know, this is the backcountry custom scopes sponsored camping festival.
Like, this is their Lollapalooza.
Yeah, yeah. So then a bunch of these guys show up, they set up tents, and then I don't understand how it really works, because it seems like every one of them is walking around with a camera for their YouTube or Instagram channel. Every one of them has it. And then they go to guy and they go, hey man, what's in your pockets?
Right.
And then this guy goes, well, hey, what's up, man? This is Buckner Evans from Ridgeline Scopes, and this pocket check is for Phil McGraw. He asked to see what's in my pocket, so here it is. And then they start pulling stuff out, like, well, I always carry a pen with me. This is a artisan pen that I got from a little mom-and-pop shop down there in Tybee Island, Georgia, when we went with the family last year. You never want to get caught without a pen when you need one.
No. Where you got to sign a contract or something.
This here is a Swedish snus. I get this imported. It's small batch, handcrafted, barrel aged, tobacco flavored snus. And, you know, again, don't want to get caught without it. And then they always have like a key fob that matches their wallet.
Right.
That's like a handcrafted leather key fob.
Right.
And everybody has a knife. This is a big. Knives are big in this world.
Sure.
The one thing that really got me, though, these guys So they like knives. Mm-hmm. They're into things that are like, hey, man, I got a, oh, I got this flint starter on the bottom of my boot. So I just take this piece of flint here, I strike it on my boot, and I can start a fire.
Right.
So that's like a cool thing that they got, right? Yeah. But then every one of them has beads. Not anal beads.
No, well, you don't know that.
I don't. You're right. I'm not sure what they're doing with those beads.
Right.
But they all go, oh, and this is a little bead that I got from Dead Bunny Beads. And it's like a rabbit with like cross eyes or something.
Okay.
Made out of wood.
Made out of wood. Okay.
Sometimes they're made out of metal. Sometimes they're made out of wood. So, but these guys are real big in the collectible bead world as well as the knife world.
So why are they referring to them as beads if they're made out of wood?
Well, they don't call them beads.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know what they're calling them.
Okay.
But every last one of them pulls out. They got like one hanging off their wallet.
Like a trinket.
This guy's got his trinket on the backside of his knife or something like that. So, it seems that every weekend there's one of these conventions, outdoorsmen conventions, and I think that with my recent realization that I'm more of a country boy than I originally had hoped.
People have been telling you this for a long time.
For a while. I'm just starting to come to terms with it.
Okay.
But now that I am coming to terms with it, I think that really the only way for me to attack this thing is to go ahead and throw it all away and start traveling the camping circuit. How are we looking here?
I don't know. I got a weird error here. We're still recording just fine.
Okay, I'm seeing black. I don't know if they still hear me or not.
I'm going to do something real quick, but you keep going. The recording is clean.
It's got all the things that I like. Flannel.
Right.
Hooded flannels. Tactical vests. The South has warmer weather than up here.
Okay.
Fire. I'm into fire.
You are into fire.
Not so much of a drinking man or into beer, but, you know, maybe I can get into it.
You can acclimate. Yeah, that's not something that takes a lot to get used to. You got you off your black screen?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
If I listen to enough Tyler Childers by a campfire,
you're gonna be right in there.
I'm gonna have to crack a Miller Lite.
You're not gonna have eventually.
Maybe a High Life.
I have a question for you. And
please.
It's not from a place of mockery, but it's from a place of juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't believe you since you prefaced it that way. But
how do you feel? Like, so, for argument's sake, you bring one of your Renton OGs to this convention.
Mm.
How does the Renton OG view these people?
Well, how does the Renton OG look at these guys?
Right.
Here's the thing about ROGs. Like I told you, they're handpicked, screened. They go through a rigorous screening process to become a part of our program.
Okay.
So these are guys who have a very accepting worldview.
Okay.
So they look at, you know, the gentleman in the EDC pocket check world.
Right.
And they go, well, this is weird, but I like knives.
Yeah.
And at least these guys found a place to fit in here doing something semi-productive being outdoors rather than, you know, being on OnlyFans for half of the day.
So the OG perspective is, you know, maybe this is not for me, but they have found their people and that's a good situation.
I think the OG always leans towards the acceptance side.
Okay.
You know? If I'm handpicking them, I want them to think like me and let everybody do what they want.
Okay.
They keep saying to us, I hear this so often, right? Because me and you are hip-hop guys into the dark alleyways of the hip-hop world.
Yeah.
Like, we're not fly-by-night rap listeners.
No. We're deep into this.
We come from the first generation of Wiggers in the 90s.
Yes.
Before us, Wiggers were a cultural phenomenon that only were created out of hip hop, and you are the first of generations. I came in a little bit after you.
I think that's accurate, yes.
That being said, everybody listens to hip hop now.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody.
I wonder if you're going with the exact thing I was going to talk about, but go ahead.
Okay. And that being said, a lot of those everybodies, especially in the mid-30s age range, at least mid-30s white guys.
Okay.
I hear a lot of, nah, I don't listen to that A's rap. It's all crap today. We don't listen to this. I don't listen to the new stuff.
the yelling at the clouds get off my lawn sort of position.
I like, and then they run down a list of rappers who are pretty relevant at this point.
Yeah.
Which is fine if you like Cormega and AZ. I love AZ.
Right.
Love him.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
One of my favorite rappers of all time. But, I mean, if we're being real honest, he just doesn't have the same stain that he once had in the hip-hop world.
No, not even close. But that it's not speaking to his talent or anything like that. It's just that the view has shifted and he's not shifted with it, which I respect.
He's done enough to earn his respect. And he's even, as a matter of fact, his last single that was released within the past couple of months was called Respect Minds.
Right.
And he's done enough to prove himself time and time again. When I listen to Respect Minds, when I think of AZ, there's a couple of names that like kind of pop in my head adjacent to AZ.
Okay.
Nas, of course.
Sure.
Cormega is another one of those.
Right.
When I kind of started uncovering that whole Queensbridge world.
Right.
AZ, obviously not Queensbridge, but he kind of got lumped in there.
Because he showed up on Nas's album.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So AZ puts out Respect Minds the past few months. Cormega released some other song.
Not Respect Minds.
That kind of had me go, oh, Cormega, you should have just kept the pen in your junk drawer.
Yeah.
It was not necessary for you to get a beat from wherever you got it.
Right.
And to do this.
To do what you did.
You're putting a stain on your name by trying to come back.
Right.
Now, I will renege on that statement.
Okay.
Because I sent you a joint with Mega and Nas. Did right. you listen to that?
I tried to.
You didn't like it?
I did not. Hmm. I was... I don't know how to describe it. It was... So, when the... You sent me the link, and it took me like a day or two before I got to the link.
Yeah.
But I saw what the link was. So I'm seeing that I'm going to hear Nas over an Alchemist beat.
Yeah.
And this is a...
What more could you ask
this
for?
This is a great combination.
Yeah.
This should be a great combination.
Yeah.
But now I've hyped it up so much that when it's just an okay song, it's now a really terrible song in my mind because I'm expecting this five-star performance, especially with Nas being... He's really on the top of his game right now.
Yeah.
Like, the King's Disease 3 is incredible. And it was just like, I didn't need to hear that. Like, that's just how I felt about it. Like, I didn't need to know that this existed.
Yeah.
And that disappoints me because of the construct of the song.
First, let me ask, was that what you were thinking?
No. Okay. I was thinking something more about the cultural part. We can get to it.
All right. Well, we will, because this is brief.
Yeah.
To me, that Nas and Mega song, though not their best work, right? Not King's Disease 3 had some joints on it. I wasn't like all that super impressed like everybody else was.
Understood.
But I did listen through Nas's whole catalog, picking out joints today when I was at the gym. I mean,
yeah.
You know, is he better than Jay-Z? You can make that argument.
I think he is. I think he got stuck in the shadow of a more popular rapper.
Yeah.
I think if Jay-Z doesn't exist, we talk about Nas the way that we talk about Jay-Z.
Well.
But Jay-Z overshadowed him because of his popularity.
Well, but I think that that's part of what you attribute to Jay-Z to say he's agreed. The greatest to do it. Because 100%. He's simultaneously.
Simultaneously, all at the same turn.
Mimulsamiously.
Right.
Hydroperoxidically.
Yeah.
He's able to rap for the hip hop heads.
Right.
While also being able to like rap for the masses. And he's rapping the same thing that if you're a hip hop head who knows how to break down lyrics, you're understanding how complex the things that Jay-Z is doing, whereas the layman, you know, fly-by-night hip-hop listener is not. They just love the song and they think it's cool.
Right.
But the Mega and Nas song brought me, as soon as I heard it, I asked my wife if I could punch her in the face.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, babe, come here. I want to punch you in the face listening to this song.
Right, just because the music's on.
Yeah, I thought it was hard. I liked it. If you're, you know, if you're looking for something, if you're a guy who says, I don't listen to today's rap, everything that comes out now is trash, go listen to Glorious by Nas and Cormega, then come back into the comments and tell us what you thought about it.
Right.
What do you think about the culture, my friend?
So you were talking about how, like, my generation is kind of the first generation to bring in that whole sort of wigger thing. And
you can't even say it with a straight face.
No, I don't.
Payday hates the word wigger.
I feel like it carries the same, not
it
the
doesn't.
Same power, but it carries the sort of implications of calling someone, you know, the actual word that it's based off.
Well, no, being a wigger has a negative connotation.
Yeah.
You're looked at as a goofball.
Right.
But
so
you grow out of it into being a thorough white dude.
You can yeah. also not and get stuck in that too, but neither here nor there. So that is definitely, that's an arc that happens. And during that period of time, especially early on, you know, I don't want to hear you listening to that music in my house.
Yeah.
If you're going to pull up on my driveway, lower your radio before you get here. I don't know why you're wearing that t-shirt with those people on it.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was the pushback all the time.
Yeah.
Don't go to your grandfather's house with any of that nonsense. He'll kick you out.
Yeah.
Watching the football game yesterday, the Transformers commercial has Juicy in the background.
Yeah.
The Fast and Furious commercial has Notorious Thugs in the background.
I saw that.
Something else came on that had Ready or Not in the background.
Right.
And I'm just like, it's weird and amazing that these things that were like so not mainstream that you were threatened if you were even paying attention to them are now the centerpiece of the biggest movies of the summer.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's a crazy transition to watch if you came through those first couple generations where it really was like, it only came on the radio after 10 p.m. on Tuesday nights. Otherwise, no one wants to hear this shit.
Yeah. I look at it, the way that it unfurls itself to me is on the job site.
Okay.
You know, 15, 16, 17 years ago, when I was just a young, lowly floor guy with a drug problem.
Right.
With a hip-hop addiction and a drug problem.
Sure.
There was no way that we were going to get away with playing rap music on the... We couldn't play
right.
Power 99 on the job site. Not even... Like, I'm not even talking about playing
right, like,
albums and underground mixtapes that we were listening to in our spare time.
Right, not even like the fully edited stuff could be played.
We couldn't have on DJ Doc B's midday, you know, old school lunch buffet.
Right.
Now, most every job site is a majority hip hop, right? Because we're still the youngest guys on the job site.
Okay.
We're like,
right.
You know, we've had this conversation time and time again that,
yeah.
like, new guys are not coming into the trades. So at 36, about to be 37, my birthday's coming up. If you want to send something, I won't tell you not to. I could use Abercrombie Fierce, a bottle of it. I'm working on a Fierce cologne collection.
Okay.
also a dirt bike.
Sure.
And a gold chain. If you want to donate, we're setting up a GoFundMe to buy a gold chain. So look for the link in the GoFundMe. It's coming soon.
The link for the links, we're going to call it.
The link for the links. Bam, daddy. But now, like, that's what guys listen to on job sites.
Yeah, it's a wild evolution to watch. And I realize part of it is because, like, so when I'm in the car with my kid, we're listening to music I like. So when he gets to be of age to be the one in charge of the radio, he's going to be, it's not going to be shocking that he puts on rap music.
Yeah.
Like it was when I did. So it was just really crazy to just be paying attention and hear all these pretty much classic rap songs come into, you know, like I said, it's not only just there, but it's tied to the biggest things that are supposed to happen over the
Super Bowl commercials
over the summer.
Yeah.
All have hip hop and they tinker with it, which, and they make it pretty cool. Like with the Fast and Furious, they made it like this slow.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
You know,
yeah.
But it's just there. Like, hey, this is no big deal. Here's Biggie rapping. Let's watch a movie. Like, wow.
Rihanna's pregnant.
Sure looks like it.
I don't know if she's claiming it or not, but there's no way in hell that anybody saw her and didn't go,
no.
Oh, she's pregnant.
No.
She's moving across the stage quite slow.
Yeah,
she's all covered up. Rihanna's not necessarily one who's known for covering up.
No, and that jacket kept sliding around just a little bit, and you could see it, and you're like, all right, either she eats
face
a lot
was looking
now.
Chubby. I don't know. Maybe she's just getting her weight up. That's fine, too.
Yeah, nothing whatever. Wrong with it either way, but yeah.
The hip-hop growing into mainstream culture brings forth a thought and a point that I think that all of our friends who think very strongly one way or the other about the issues of today need to know, right? So you, as a 30-something, 40-something-year-old man, have your morals and values baked into yourself. You're probably not swaying too much one way or another,
right,
unless you're a guy like me who stays open to truth.
Sure.
You know? That's what you should be. That's what should sway you, the truth. You should be trying to find the truth in everything and not, you know, basing everything off the morals that you've ingrained in yourself, because right, those morals should be ever changing should you find that there's another truth.
Okay.
But, you know, you're fighting against what the kids and, you know, whatever the issues of today, the trans thing that's going on, the censoring of, you know, certain speech, and like, we can fight against this and we can hate against it, right? But the reality is that generation who's coming up, who's kind of holding those values, is going to grow into the generation that is now running the world.
Right.
Probably sooner than later. So, I'm not saying that you need to bend your morals. I'm just saying be flexible in them, because at some point down the line, what you want and what you are doesn't matter. It's not your show anymore. You know, like that, like with hip hop and the job site.
Okay.
The guys who were 40 when we were trying to play hip hop on the job site are now 60 and have no choice.
Right.
You jerks gotta listen to it now, because we're running the job site.
Right. You can't even figure out how to pair your phone to the Bluetooth. We're gonna put on what we want.
And so it just comes into my mind, like, everything is gonna be ever changing. So yeah, by you getting all upset one way or another about anything, right, whatever it is, whether it's a serious issue in life or a minor issue in your personal life, right, as time goes on, things are going to morph and change for you to wind up being like, oh, damn, well, this is completely different than I wanted it to be or than I thought it was. Your pop-up, was he still alive? He could curse up and down all he wants that 7 out of 10 commercials have rap in them.
If he could hear them.
But there's not a damn thing that he could do about it. This is the world now.
Yeah, this is where he's
so
at.
Now, are you wasting your energy getting mad at something like this?
Right.
Or do you just throw your hands up and go, this is the way the world is. I got to function inside of the system that I'm given.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think there's certain morals and certain parts of your code that should pretty much be uncompromised. But I think a lot of it, I was trying to tell my son today, I think a lot of it comes down to perspective. Like, you have to see what's happening and take a perspective on it. And you get to decide whether you want the grumpy perspective. Like, you know, why are they doing this music and these songs? You know what I mean? Or you can take that, well, that's how the world is right now. So somebody put out something, whatever, a tweet, whatever it was. And they said, you know, over the last 99 days, Philadelphia has lost 3 championships. We watched Philadelphia lose 3 championships.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
And they put it out as a, you know, F you Philadelphia sort of. That was their position. But I look at it and, like, I could get upset about it. Like, damn, we keep losing. Or I can look at it and say, we're in 3 championships. There's only 2 teams in each of those championships, and we keep making it to the championships. That's a pretty successful run. You know, it's not as successful as it could be, but you don't have to be upset that your team keeps showing up in the finals and falling just short. That's exciting, because that's, you know, when you were in your early Birds days and they weren't really making the playoffs at all, I was like, why am I even watching this team?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But now I'm watching a team that gets to the Super Bowl, and it's like, all right, I'm going to definitely tune in again next year. Let's see if we can take it all the way. So perspective takes that one piece of data and turns it from, oh, this is the fucking worst, to, you know, this isn't the worst thing in the world to be the team that's there all the time. So all the other stuff, you know, my grandfather might watch the commercial and be pissy about it, or he might say, you know, this is not my music anymore, but this was never going to be my music anymore, so what do I care?
Right.
And just move on with it. I'm not going to go watch. He's not going to the theater to watch Fast and Furious one way or the other, so it's not like he's going to boycott it now that he found out they're using Notorious Thugs in the background.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's probably as solid of a life science that we can leave you with today, which is that whatever you are, whatever it is that's in front of you, right? It's in front of you. Why don't you put it to the side of you and look at it that way? Or put it to the right of you. Put it to the left of you. Look at it that direction. Maybe hop down and put it underneath you and look down and see what it looks like. Because should you look at a speed bump from any different angle, it's a different shape every way you look at it.
Right.
You know? And one of those shapes may look real easy to get over.
Perspective.
But don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Here's the thing. We are putting this episode in its entirety over onto the Thorough White Dude YouTube channel, which is probably going to be hard to find for right now. I don't think if you search it, it's going to pop up. But it will soon. We'll put a link so that you can get straight there. We need you guys to go from here over to the Thorough White Dude YouTube channel and subscribe to it, because we are slowly going to transition over there and take another run at the championship. Call me the Philadelphia Eagles.
There you go.
Call me Jalen Hurts, baby, because I might have walked away a loser, but I'm gearing up for next season, and I guarantee there's a Super Bowl win at the end of that one.
What did he say? It could be a loss or it could be a learning experience. That's your choice.
Listen, and that's exactly what I look at the Gig Podcast as, right? How many Amazons did this guy create before he created Amazon?
The Amazon. Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So we will, so depending on what channel you're watching this on, this has either been the Gig Light or the Manual. I'm Sean Cove. That's Pay Dirt, the producer. And on your way out, go ahead and pick up your Jordans and your New Era hat and get the hell out of here. Come see us next week.
Get some clean socks.
God damn it.